Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. On this episode of Dad Talks, I interview Nick Martin. Nick Martin has been a friend of mine for many, many years. And he is a guy, if you ever meet him in life, is what I would call an enigma. The guy is a former college football player and was huge. I mean, it was bigger than he currently is, but is one of those guys that is just a big teddy bear. Has a great heart. The more cliche is a gentle giant. I mean, he is a big, muscular man. And so I'm glad to have him as a friend because I know if anything goes down, he can help. Or, you know, he moves fridges pretty well by himself. But I had Nick on just because I've always respected him just for his wisdom as a dad, as a man. You know, I've been in Bible studies with him, Bible studies that he's led. And he's just the thing that I've always been impressed with Nick and by Nick, and you'll hear it throughout this interview, is his intentionality. He's very intentional in the life that he wants and the things he wants to do, right? So he wanted a men's Bible study. So he started, he led it. You know, now he's got other guys that are helping with it. He's intentional in friendships, right? He has board game nights and invites men over to be a part of that. He's intentional in his marriage. You'll hear how him and Melanie, you know, are very intentional to have date nights and time together. He's intentional with his kids of the direction he wants to go with them and the values they want to impart on his kids. And so it's a great interview. A lot of wisdom, a lot of laughs. So enjoy my interview with Nick Martin on this episode of Dad Talks. All right, Nick Martin is on the Dad Talks podcast in the almost brand new studio. First time person in this, which is awesome. So Nick, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, JT.
Woo! I'm excited because I've already said it that I'm hoping there's lots of movie references in here. So yeah, let's kick it. So Nick Martin's on Dad Talks. So obviously is a dad. So we meet in the elevator, not awkwardly. It's probably going to be awkward.
So I was
going up,
JT.
I don't know, what, 10 floors? Give me your pitch of who Nick Martin is.
Dad of three boys, married to Melanie, originally from Wisconsin. Go Badgers. Even though they lost yesterday. Moved to Iowa 15, 16 years ago to work in a corn plant. And God's been working. It's been cool to see the twists and turns that he's had for us.
Because how long have you and Melanie been married?
16 years this summer.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yep.
And then, see, your oldest is?
Carson turned 12 in the fall.
Yes. Yeah, so what grade is that?
Seventh.
No way.
Yep. Middle school, first year.
Jeez.
Yep. Go Muskies.
That's right. Because I've seen Melanie's posted his sweet drum thing.
Yeah, he loves to drum.
Oh, that's crazy.
They call it a percussionist. He's not a drummer.
Oh, sorry. It's percussionist. Sorry. Fancy. Yeah. Oh, man. And then, see, Carson,
Bryce is 10, fourth grade.
Okay, so he's a year above G. That's
what, yeah, and Tom is turning 8 next week. Yeah. Second grade.
Jeez.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Jeez. Yeah, people see us in the grocery store or whatever and be like, "You look busy." I'm like, hey, a lot of hands to help here.
Busy, but in a good way. You're like, yeah, it's great. I'm happy with it. Okay, so we've known each other. I was just thinking about this for 10 years now, right? Because I'm trying to remember the first time we met, and it would have been magical.
I think I was on crutches the first time we ever talked.
Yeah.
No, wait, you came over to my house to play Catan with Dreggy.
Yeah. That's right.
When you visited.
That's right. Yeah, I was like, man, I know we've done Bible study together. We served in ministry together. And then, yeah, all our board game nights. I was like, man, that's been forever, which is crazy.
I think the first time I talked to you when you were in town is when I had my broken foot and I was trying to bring the boys into church. by myself on crutches, and they were like tiny, and you're like, for goodness sake, let me help you.
Oh yeah, yeah, yep, yep. Nice, that's crazy. So yeah, so then was thinking about you, of having you on the podcast, because obviously people can't see, this is audio. You're just a massive gentleman, and not too old, but your gray hair gives you away.
They say I got a young face.
Exactly. Young face, young body, young heart, young mind. But have always been impressed by you're wise beyond your years, Mr. Martin, in regards of life and all of those things. You know, so you're a wise guy, so I think wise, bring you on the podcast. And so the thing that I've liked, so I have that, and then you shared your testimony or, you know, life story, however you want to say it, in church beginning this year?
Yeah, maybe last summer.
Man,
yeah, community hour.
Yeah, in community hour. And so, yeah, you're, again, a good-sized man of former football player D2. D2.
Yep, Michigan Tech.
So, and then, but I'm seeing, like, you're crying through it. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, that was awesome. And it was, I mean, I was like, oh no, I'm not crying, you're crying. And so because of that, I was like, dude, I want to get Nick on, just because that was amazing, just to kind of hear you process you growing up, you and Melanie, and just kind of where you've been through. So yeah, so that's what, let's hit that of going, okay, go back to Nick. Were you ever little?
I don't think so.
Big stock, or
My family's good size. I come from a family whose favorite sport is eating. So I remember, I've got an older brother. I remember, like, competitively eating against my brother, since I was like second grade. You know, I remember being at Bonanza, like in the Endless Shrimp.
Oh yeah,
and like second grade eating more than my sixth grade brother, like bring home the champion belt. Like, what's up, everybody? I ate more than my brother. We used to like race to eat Taco John's tacos on the deck.
Oh yeah.
Like, all right, who can eat these dozen tacos the fastest? Go.
Oh jeez.
So needless to say, I was a hefty kid.
Yeah. I just imagine like each mealtime, like, you're gonna finish? No, I'm gonna finish. You eat that. I'll eat that. No. Wrestle and take him down. So there's you, brother. Is there a sister?
Yep, sister,
and
younger.
Then where do you fall?
I'm in the middle.
Middle kid. Oh, forgotten child. Yep.
Nobody cares where I am or what I'm doing.
No. And then, so Wisconsin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you grew up, because I was trying to remember your testament, right? You grew up Lutheran, kind of?
Yep. We attended sporadically a Lutheran church.
Yeah.
It was kind of the 1 hour of church a week, you know? Like, that was the measure of a good sermon, is if you were out of there in 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Amen. And we didn't talk about it, didn't apply it. You know, I'm a questioner by nature, and, you know, remember asking my parent or my mom, because my dad didn't go, hey, why don't we ever talk about any of this stuff? Like, what does this mean? You know, why doesn't it come up outside of church? And it just kind of not answered, which made me lose interest pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I think I got confirmed. That's what they call it in the Lutheran church. Yeah. Went through the classes and stuff when I was in ninth grade. And then my mom said, well, you've been through it. You know, you can choose to go or not. And I was out from that point.
Yeah. So then, because you said dad didn't go, like, growing up, did it impact, or now looking back, we're like, oh, I can kind of see some of the impact that dad wasn't going, or did he just not, you know, did he lead, or was there anything you're just like, nope, dad just does his thing?
I remember talking about it when we were, you know, at some point, and my dad grew up Catholic and had it kind of shoved down his throat his whole life. You know, they were there on Sunday. They were there every night for mass. They were, you know, way beyond his interest level. And he just kind of had enough, from my understanding. And he didn't think it was a bad thing, but he didn't feel compelled to go himself. But I don't think it personally impacted my interest.
Yeah.
I think the lack of answers, the lack of piecing things together at our church that we grew up at, I think they meant well. I think they're good people. Just when you say the same liturgy every single week, but no one tells you why or what it means, or at least in a way that I could understand it. I was just like, yeah, this isn't for me.
And that, I don't know these minds, but I think it'd be right. That's your engineer brain, right? That you want
to
know.
I've always wanted to know how it works and the reason behind stuff. And I didn't know any of that about me then, but it's pretty clear now. Yeah. Like, I need an answer. I want to know why we're doing something.
So on that topic, but not just think, because I'm the same way of then as a kid, did you get in a lot of trouble because you were always questioning of like, and you know, but you weren't necessarily doing it in a mean way. You're just like, but I need to know, like, why am I being punished or why is this happening? Like,
yeah, I don't have a ton of specific examples, but the question why came up a lot. Yeah. I remember my sixth grade teacher, shout out to you, Mrs. Erickson. You know, she labeled me the why guy on like day one, like, okay, enough questions from you. And it's kind of funny to see your own kids take after you, like, okay, time out. No more questions. Yeah. We're just going to do what dad says right now. I got to be careful.
Are they all why or which ones you're?
I think in spurts, they definitely need to have the reasons behind it. You know, some are more go with the flow than others, but yeah, we definitely have a lot of questions. And I think Melanie's a questioner to some degree, so they get a good dose from both sides.
Oof, a lot of inquisitive. Yeah, I just, because I was the same way when would get in a lot of trouble because I would be like, but why? And not, you know, you're not being disrespectful. You're just like, I need to understand this and I don't. So like, so why? And why would we do this? Now, yes, I did get in trouble with a lot because I'd be like, yeah, but why? You do this.
And I still to this day, like, you know, find myself in that trap. Mm-hmm. And especially with siblings, like, well, Trav did this and this happened. Like, why can't I do that? Uh-huh. And, or, you know, I got these grades, they got these grades. Why am I getting yelled at? You know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not a fruitful end.
No. And that's what my oldest is that way. And we've had a few of those talks. Well, why? Why do they like... Like you said, because I said so right now. Dad's in charge.
Right.
Okay, so then you said, so then ninth grade is confirmed and you're just kind of like, done. Yeah. Did you, I mean, and so it does, right? Your family, it's not a bunch of heathens out partying, you know, snorting, drinking. I can't even think of the movie. Come on now.
Sorry, man.
Like, yeah, you know it. It's Black Sheep, right?
I think, I don't
know.
Yeah,
where he's... Oh, man, I thought...
It's past 8, JT. I don't know. Okay, fine.
But, right, so you were a quote-unquote good family.
Yeah, right? I felt loved, you know, never abused or mistreated, you know, yelled at plenty, but mostly deservedly.
Yep.
Parents are still married, like, just not thinking that church had anything of value for me, you know, in high school.
Yeah. So high school, you kind of, you know, you just, I'm assuming, just did the normal, quote unquote, high school thing. Were you a jock then? Did it take a while? Like, were you just like, I'm awesome as soon as sports started?
No, like, you know, with the aforementioned eating patterns, I was a hefty kid, and I don't think anybody saw anything athletically in me from an early age.
Yeah.
Eighth grade, I kind of hit my growth spurt, started being more active. Freshman year, started playing some sports, getting in the weight room. And then it didn't really hit till maybe like junior year. The work started to really pay off and like started to see like, hey, this could turn into something. You know, you could be a starter on the football team. You could, you know, win some powerlifting meets and ended up turning into a scholarship to play football. And, you know, that was pretty cool to see that from a kid who didn't have a lot of potential, at least, you know, easy to see a potential.
Yeah. He has a big heart.
And a big belly.
And other parts. Okay, so then, yeah, get through high school. And then the shift, right, it came with Melanie, right?
Yeah.
So how did you guys Melanie meet? Was huge how did in that kind of start?
Huge in my testimony. We both grew up going to the same Lutheran church. She was a lot more involved than I was. I kind of came back for Christmas, and then whenever she would sing, I would try to make it as well. Mm-hmm. And then we went to separate colleges, which was huge. I would not recommend it to people dating in high school because it was really hard.
Yeah,
but it ended up being the best thing for us. It helped keep us pure. It helped us grow individually. And one of the ways that she grew is when she was on the gymnastics team, her coach led her to Christ. And that was honestly, for me, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, did she join a cult? Like, is she,
yeah,
you know, like, what is she talking about? She's talking about all these church things. And I don't know, like, it wasn't super impactful for me at the time, but she was really serious about it. And, seeing her change and apply these things. And then one time she dropped a bomb on me. She's like, I just don't think we can still be together if you don't think this is important. And it wasn't saying it to manipulate or pressure me. It was just a legitimate, like, this is important for me. And if it's not important for you, we can't make this work, which I really respect now, because that was really hard for her to say, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it made me really think. And through more conversations, she got me with another zinger of, hey, if you were going to die today, like, would you get into heaven? I'm like, of course. Of course I would. Mm-hmm. She's like, why? I'm like, I'm a good person. I do good things. I haven't killed anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, that's not how that works. Like, that's not good enough. And I go, what do you mean? And she told me about Jesus and dying for my sins and him being the only way, and gave me a little booklet that explained the same thing. And I just remember, like, it's not that I ever doubted the stuff I learned in church. I just didn't understand how it was valuable to me in my life. And I remember kneeling on my bedroom floor that summer and, you know, reading the book and praying the prayer. And I didn't know what any of that meant at the time. But yeah, that's the day I gave my life to Jesus. And yeah, it's crazy to think about looking back.
And the crazy thing is, if people don't know your wife, she's not really outspoken. And she's, what's she stand at?
5'3".
Yeah, 5'3". So to think this gal that's just up like, hey, where are you going? I don't, maybe you've, is also makes it great to her, like, just the boldness in her, you know, faith, which that's, you know, cool that she's just like, okay, I like this guy clearly, and like, this is important. And so, yeah, that's awesome. Like, a cool way for you guys to start your relationship of, to get, you know,
really,
like, on the same page and together. And
I think it's been really cool to see us both accept Christ on our own terms, and want it, you know, want to live that life independently. It's not a weird codependence thing. It wasn't a, oh, I better do this because I, you know, I'm afraid she's gonna leave me or whatever. And just cool to look back on that and, you know what we didn't have when we started dating and know what we have now in Jesus. So yeah, it's pretty cool, and I'm super thankful for her in a bunch of ways, but her boldness was key for me.
Oh man, just had a thought on her. But yeah, that's cool that you're able to, that then going back to where you're saying with the dating, like, just the cool or how that works out, like you said, where you're at separate colleges, and just, yeah, obviously don't recommend it, but it is just the value of becoming your own people. And exactly like you just said, where she made the decision to be saved, and I made the decision to where it wasn't like, yeah, some couples are either together and then they don't have friends, they don't have anything outside, you know, like, it's just.
Yeah. I would definitely say it made us have so much less resentment towards the other person. Like, I could make my stupid decisions. I could have the freedom to think and, you know, develop my own friendships, and, you know, there was a lot of space there. If I would have wanted out, it would have been no pressure at all to say, hey, this is what I want. And it was really crystallizing to know that, no, she's as good as I'm ever going to find, and really want, you know, to pursue marriage and and her, you know, as a wife. So it was really cool to have that experience, as hard as it was to be separate and, you know, apart for all that time.
For sure. So how far were the schools apart?
We were like 5 hours.
Ooh.
So it was a good haul. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of winter weather involved way up in the UPA.
Yeah.
So, and with sports in opposite seasons, we probably got to see each other 2 or 3 times a semester.
And this is back before FaceTime and all those.
Yeah. Things. I had to dial my phone cards to call her a couple times a week.
Did you have,
I know you're not that much older than me, but did, because I remember Facebook Messenger when that first came out and like connecting, or were you still back in AOL or MSN? MSN?
No, it was AOL when I went to school, and then Facebook came like the last couple years of college.
Okay.
So
you had it then.
Maybe. Right after the stone tablets.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. You'd send a pigeon out to Mel. Write me when thou skittest this. And then, but going on that, because one of the things I've always admired with you and Mel is the fact that, you know, you'd see, because you mentioned it, you go grocery shopping, you have the boys, you take the boys, you know, to Grant every, almost every, but, you know, once it's nice, every so often, and like, she's not there. And so you'd be like, oh, this is a terrible thing because they're not together all the time. But I'm like, it's real, like, it seems really cool. So I'd like you to speak to that. Like, how did you guys come up with that? What was the thoughts? What's the benefits? What are the good things from it? Like,
yeah,
this is a really cool idea.
So Melanie is way smarter than I am and had this idea a long time ago. I don't know if she read it or came up with that on her own. It doesn't matter. But, she stayed home ever since Carson was a baby. Mm-hmm. So she had always had plenty of kid time,
yeah,
you know? And I don't think she'd be mad if I said that, but she always thought it was important that I had time too. So it started when Carson was a little baby, mm-hmm. you know, after supper, whatever supper looks like with a baby,
yeah.
you know, that it would be like me and him, it'd be dad time. Uh-huh. And we just kind of kept that routine going as we added a second and added a third. And a lot of times it looked like we were just playing in the basement for those early years. But then it got to be more like, hey, we could run an errand. We could, you know, get some groceries. We could go to the park. And the more I didn't kill the kids, the more freedom I got. She would tell me sometimes, she'd be like washing dishes, watching us play in the backyard. And she's like, I just have to look away.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's not out to hurt them. Yeah. Like, he loves them like I do.
Yep.
So it required some trust to make sure I didn't, you know, lose or kill a kid, which hasn't happened yet. But we just think it's important to have that time, and it's really helped me develop a lot of confidence mm-hmm. with them. You know, I'll take them to do whatever.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun just developing those memories. We call them dad ventures when we do a little bit more bold and adventurous stuff.
Yeah.
But it, you know, now it looks like all day hikes and playing at the park, trying to recruit some buddies to play some football and, mm-hmm. But, you know, early on, going shopping with three kids under five was an adventure, you know?
Like, yeah. Where's this one? Yeah, and I like it because it's almost counter, I don't know if culture is the right word, to where it's not mom is like, get these kids out of my house because I can't stand them. It's her being, no, I want to make sure dad gets time with his kids and builds it. So that's, yeah, that makes it even cooler that it's not. I mean, there's probably a little bit of that, too, to where she's like, I need
all
a break.
Aspects.
But, yeah, I like the idea that it's like, yeah, dad ventures and dad being involved to where it's, so much of, like, the mom stays home and the dad works and, hey, he might show up, he might not. Like, you guys were very intentional in building that, so that's awesome. Did you have that? Was your dad that way? Or did you guys, when you got together, like, hey, here's some changes we got to make?
No, I don't think that was modeled growing up. Not to my dad's fault. I mean, he was just, we grew up on a family farm. He was busy all the time. Yeah. We had, you know, full access to him when he was doing stuff. We'd ride along when we could or be in the combine or whatever. But there's just a lot of stuff that, you know, didn't look very interesting or, hey, you really can't do this right now, so get out of the way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I was probably fifth or sixth grade, we had a falling out with the family, to say it kindly. And he started working over the road as a truck driver and then got a job second shift. So after that, you know, middle school to high school, I really didn't see him a ton except on weekends and stuff. Yeah. But I think Melanie's always been very intentional. She's always thought ahead and, you know, I didn't have the same constraints my dad had. You know, my job is, you know, get out at five pretty reliably every day. So to build that time in with the boys was pretty, pretty easy. And to be honest, it would have been easier for me to have her there all the time. But, you know, her intentionality was my benefit.
Yeah. Do you flip it then? Does she have, I mean, obviously she's with him all the time, but like intentional mom son dates or anything like that? Or is it just,
yeah, every couple months Melanie tries to, you know, get through the boys to have like a date time where it's one on one. You know, she does a lot of intentional stuff with them, you know, when she has the three of them home from school and stuff. There's definitely no lacking on time from her. But it's different, you know, like mom likes to read a book, you know, where the, you know, we all listen together on the couch. Yep. And it's fun to see those moments. You know, mom likes to do different things. She'll sing and dance and, you know, do different stuff where we're wrestling on the floor or we're finding the new fresh mud for the spring or chasing frogs or catching fish. So it's fun to have special moments, but totally different.
Yeah. And then for you two though, like how does date nights, because you're intentional with your boys, how do you intentional with each other?
Yeah. So we had a really good thing going with some friends. And we actually had multiple different friends that we've kind of rotated through where we would do a date night swap where they would come to our house, watch our kids to make sure our house doesn't burn down. Yep. We would return the favor and we'd do that once a month and it was free. And it was kind of a fun social thing that we'd do too. And since the last one fell through, we have not been super intentional. I feel like we're right on the cusp of being able to leave the boys home alone.
Yeah. Yep.
And we just haven't been willing to take that next leap. You know, men out there, date your wife, do a better job than I do. But that is definitely something that we need to figure out and improve on. Because it's important to have that time where you can just talk as a husband, talk as a wife.
Yeah.
And have a little fun along with it.
Yeah. But I'm assuming, like, you sound like you'd be intentional, you guys, at the house as well, to where, like, you know, boys are in bed, you have some time together or...
Yeah. You know. Yeah, we got some advice early on. You know, you need at least 20 minutes every day where you can talk uninterrupted, no disruptions, no TV, no kids. And I feel like we probably lean a little heavier on that. You know, we're always trying to catch up and stay on the same page. And with Melanie staying home, she's got a lot of thoughts and a lot of experiences that happen and really no place to share them until, you know, the night to unpack it. Where I'm, you know, sometimes I'm kind of talked out, but we think it's really important to have that time and make it a priority.
Do you have any, like, you get off at 5, is it, hey, let me, you know, let's talk immediately, or hey, let, you know, dad unwind, or hey, we're all hands on deck for kids, and then bedtime, then we do it, like, how does...
Yeah, normally get home around 5:30, if we don't have anything going on, it's supper, it's dad time, and then after bedtime, like 7:30, 8 o'clock, you know, dishes are done, kids are in bed, we'll sit down, and before the TV goes on, we'll get our time in, and if that's 20 minutes, and... you know, the talking's kind of died down. We'll go do whatever we want. And it could be the rest of the night, you know, depending on how it turns out. So just depends on what needs talked about.
Nice. And does she share your love for board games? Like, do you guys get competitive or is it kind of like, Nick, that's your thing?
So I think one of the best things about Melanie is we are different in so many ways. Uh-huh. And I used to think, and I've told her this, that I used to think that that was something to like work on, you know, like a project. Men don't fall into that trap. Your wife is different because it's going to make you better. Mm. And I feel like my wife not liking some of the things I like has made me more reasonable in those things. you know, Melanie would not be shy to say that she's not a huge fan of hiking, you know, which I love. She's not a huge fan of board games. She would rather talk to someone and have an intentional conversation. And it's made me better because of it. Because if we could just play board games all night, I think I could avoid all sorts of conversations that needed to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's really been good for me in understanding that different is not bad. Uh-huh. Different is a gift.
Oh, I like that. Mark that, edit. But I also like the thing I just keep hearing is intentional. So even just thinking where you guys have different, good grief. Yeah. Stuff you do. I can't even think of the word right now. You just said it.
Yeah. Likes and dislikes.
Yeah. Likes and dislikes. So it obviously then forced you to study her and kind of figure it out.
but also grow yourself, right? To where you're like, okay, this is what Mel likes. How do I, you know, speak her love language or meet it?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my fascinations is like the different personality profiles, and like you bring up the love languages. Yep. You know, I'm an acts of service, physical touch person. And like, until you understand that, you have no idea who you are, or what you're doing. But when I'm angry at Melanie, when I'm really happy with Melanie, when I see Melanie stressed, I'm trying to love her in that way. You know, yep. I'm doing the dishes, I'm sweeping up under the table, I'm folding laundry, you know, like I don't even see myself doing it sometimes. But to Melanie, she's a words of affirmation person, and she doesn't care what I'm doing, if I'm doing it with a sour attitude or if I'm grumpy. She has told me 1,000 times, if she told me once, she's like, I don't care what you do or how much. If you're grumpy, it's all for nothing.
Yeah.
And it does not compute. Like, I'm like, no, I'm serving.
Yeah.
I'm doing everything I can for you right now. Like, I'm giving you 100%. She's like, it doesn't matter if you're in a bad mood.
Yeah.
If it doesn't matter if you're going to talk to me that way. And I'm still a work in progress. Like, yeah. I can say I understand, but in the moment when the chips are down, I'm maybe 50-50 at best.
I can just see you doing the dishes, just angry, and Mel is just like, dude, come on. This is not, you're like, dude, just let me have it.
Yeah, and that's my default. I'm like, oh man, let me jump in. How can I help? And what she really needs is, you're a great mom.
Yeah.
Like, I love the way you serve, you know, like those kind of things.
Yeah.
Those positive words, where I really struggle, because I realized just like 2 weeks ago that I have absolutely no desire or need for positive, like affirmative words. I'm like, I don't even remember a compliment, you know, like that was a serious thing. It was a question I was asked, like, what was the best compliment you ever received? And I'm like, I don't have anything. And I realized that, like, that is a blind spot.
Yeah. That's cool though, that you're learning them, and that it's again, the intentionality of continuing to think about it. Is there any, like, man, I don't know if you have any tricks, like, how do you get out of that? Like, you start serving into where, like, you can pull yourself back and go, oh, I need to, you know, go talk to Mel, or like, I don't know, I guess it's practice, or is there anything?
The thing that's the hardest for me is it has to be authentic, and it has to be, I don't want to say spontaneous, but she can see if it's a routine or if it's like canned, you know, like I had a reminder every like 3 weeks to like send her a nice text. And after like three of those, she's like, I feel like you just have a reminder to send me a nice text every once in a while. I'm like, darn it. She's figured me out.
I got to space these out in different times.
So really, like, I've heard different people talk, like, if you've thought something nice but haven't said it, it's a waste. So anytime something hits me that, you know, she's an amazing wife, she's a great mom, she's beautiful, like, I try to get that to her. You know, if it has to be a text, if it has to be a phone call, if it, you know, if she's in the other room. And I wouldn't even give myself a passing grade on this. And she might not either, but she's seen improvement, which is, you know, as good as I can talk about myself.
Now, then do you see it in any of your boys? Like, are they, any of them good at compliments or like?
Yeah. So our middle, Bryce, if he's not words of affirmation, I have no idea what it would look like in a kid, but like, you can just see him like raise his shoulders up, you know, puff his chest out when he gets that good feedback. And you can see him give it in ways that, like, he, you know, at conferences like this year, I think his teacher is also maybe words of affirmation. And like, she got kind of teary eyed when he's, you know, telling her what a good teacher he thought she was.
Wow.
You know, you're so kind, and like, you do such a good job, and you can just see the tears, like, so he's got that, and it's just in him, you know, God put it in him, and it's cool to see him use it.
Yeah. And then what would you say with the other two?
You know, it's not as clear to me.
Yep.
I think there's some acts of service in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got one who's a little more snuggly than the others. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they grow up, because I'm sure they can still change and, you know, have different,
yeah,
you know, ways that comes out.
Yeah. And then you say snuggly, and so that's, yeah, you know, obviously I have one boy, and he's, I definitely say physical touch, because he even said, you know, Dad, I like when you give us hugs and kisses, you know, and the wrestling and whatever. But, like, that was the weirdest thing for me, because, like, there was no hugs. I wouldn't say there's no hugs, but as far as physical touch growing up was like, not so much. And so, like, having to learn that tender side with your, you know, son. Like, how have you guys navigated that of, like, obviously boys, yeah, we're tough, but how do we teach him to be tender, you know, love mom, and, you know, there's different.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I grew up, a lot of hugs, a lot of kisses. You know, I still kiss my mom goodbye, you know, give her a kiss on the head or a kiss on the cheek or whatever. You know, lots of hugs that I can remember growing up. Even in front of friends, I was never that kid that was like, oh, mom, you're embarrassing me, you know, mm-hmm. get away. You know, it was always a hug goodbye. And
yeah,
that wasn't something that was pressured. That was just how we said goodbye, yep, you know. Yep. And I feel like that wasn't such a struggle for me, and it wasn't foreign. So, like, to hug and kiss our boys when they were little, and the wrestling came really natural. You know, the tickling, I can probably go overboard sometimes, but it, you know, it takes a lot of different forms. And,
yeah.
But the wrestling, the four of us, really is a favorite pastime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when we've got a free hour, our youngest would be like, Dad, can we wrestle? Mm-hmm. And like, hey, and we've kind of made it a special thing in our house, because the rule with Melanie when I'm not there is, you know, you can't wrestle because your dad's not here. Mm-hmm. So to keep them from wrestling each other uncontrollably, we've kind of set a boundary of what's appropriate, and it's made it really fun and something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't always end well, you know, the elbow to the face, or the foot to the chin,
into your back.
You know, especially as the boys have gotten bigger, it can get pretty physical.
Yeah.
But you can tell it really fills their tank, and they really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And I do, too. But it's different with mom. You know, we don't let them wrestle with mom.
Uh-huh.
Melanie's got the saying, like, you need to be gentle with mommies and girls. So we're trying to draw that line, like, hey, you know, moms, and not all moms might draw this line, but Melanie feels strongly that she's not going to be the one who wrestles.
Yep.
She's not going to be the one that's, you know, picking them up and carrying them around.
Yeah.
That's more my role.
Yeah.
And trying to teach them, you know, when it's appropriate, when it's not. So it's kind of fun, because she, every once in a while, they'll try to pick her up now, and she's like, oh, they about broke my hip.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, because that's the trying to figure out that balance with my girls, to where, like,
yeah,
I would say the girls are fine. It's more my son, because then, like, he's not necessarily gotten in trouble, but it's come up with, like, at school, to where, like, interaction with the girls, to where, like, yeah, but that's how you know, treat sisters. And so helping go, okay, hey, there's a difference between our sisters and other girls. And, you know, then, yeah, sisters, we can't just haul off and, you know, smack or hit or wrestle this way. And, you know, trying to help him understand that balance, which I think is a great thing, like you guys are doing too, to where you start learning respect, you know, for gals. Yeah. And there's a difference in how we treat them. And yes, it's, you know, the culture, like, oh, no, there's not. I'm like, well, there is.
Yeah.
And that's really cool that you're starting to build that up to where they have, yeah, the respect and the, I don't know what the other word would be, but for gals, but then also for dad. And like, it is a special thing, and rest, you know, to where, yeah, it's a manly thing we do, or
yeah. And like, you know, it's cool. Been cool. I didn't think we'd be able, like, growing up the way I grew up, like, I wrestled my brother whenever we wanted, like, I wrestled my sister whenever we wanted, like, we were all scrapping, it seemed like. And when Melanie's like, I only want them to wrestle with you, you know, I think that's the right boundary or whatever, I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna work. Like, we can try it.
Yeah.
And I've been wrong. Like, they are totally able to lessen it when it's just them, and, you know, turn it on when we're actually wrestling. So they've really surprised me.
I think that's kind of cool. And then just even thinking where you're giving
Like, it's not just crazy wrestling all the time of like, okay, like you said, with mom, we're doing these activities and doing these different things. So you're learning this. Okay, with dad, we're doing, you know, not to say, you know, there isn't reading from dad. It might be more picture books with dad, but, you know, there's stuff that do it. Like, that's a really cool way that you're processing, you know, helping your kids figure out those roles and different things. And yeah, especially now, but those, they get older, the wrestling, that's where, yeah, a few times they'll swing or pull on something like, oh, that hurt that time. Like,
yeah. Ooh. When Carson and Bryce started actually wrestling practice, ooh, last year, it got real. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like fun before. And now it's like, oh, they've got my wrist and mm-hmm. I'm in a half Nelson, you know, mm-hmm. like, this 60-pound kid is, yeah, you know, now taking me, you know, this way, yeah, or whatever. So, yeah, it's definitely got more intense.
That's what I've shown the kids how to do, you know, reverse choke. Like, yeah, if you know, you do this kind of playing. There's been a few times G has slipped in, and I'm like, oh, hey, like G, I'm out. Like, you got that in tight. That's really, I'm proud, but I'm also out. Yeah, I'm gonna pass out. So, yes. Okay. So you got your kids, wife. So then we got to get to the serious part of, I mean, your bodybuilder. Another thing, which is really cool. So you're up at like, what, 4?
Yep.
Seriously, is it 4?
4:05.
Jeez. I knew it was early because you get to the gym at what, 5?
That's the goal.
Which is insane and pretty consistent. You know, you do that 4 days a week. You got your Bible study on Thursdays. Like, yep. Is that easy for you? Like, being driven, did that start in college? Is that easy? Why do you keep doing that? Why don't you take a break? You're crazy. Go a little later.
Yeah. You know, lots of different things in there. Like, in high school, I worked after school. You know, I grew up in a small town, and the weight room was open before school.
Yep.
So it was kind of out of necessity, like, oh, I got to get my lift in.
Yep.
I guess I have to go before school. And the football coach was there, and a couple other, you know, guys were there to, you know, make it easy to be committed. And that's kind of when it started.
Uh-huh.
I've never had a problem getting up as long as there's an alarm. It's not a joyful thing, but, yeah, you know, out of duty, I'm up, I'm moving, I can, yeah, do it. That kind of carried over to real life when kids started to be in the picture. It just became a reality pretty quick that I was not going to make it to the gym unless it was before work.
Mm-hmm.
It started out, hey, I'm going to go at 6 and I'm going to get a half an hour in before I got to shower and get to work a little before 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough time to do what I wanted to do. It kept creeping back. The Y opens at 5. Some people go, why do you wake up at 4 if you go to the Y at 5?
Mm-hmm.
But to have a little Bible time, a little prayer time, little make your lunch time, you know, it goes pretty quick in the morning. So that's how 4 o'clock came to be.
Jeez. What time you go to bed?
Not early enough. So I would say between 9:30 and 11.
Man.
It just depends.
Oh, I can't imagine 11. Ugh.
Yeah. Too many nights past like 10, yeah, and you're like a zombie working around
the next day. It's 11. Oh man. That's oof.
And it used to be a real struggle, and then I broke my foot like 10 years ago,
uh-huh,
and that 3 or 4 months that I couldn't go, like, you know, my body wasn't good enough where, mm-hmm, I could be independent and go and do the things that I enjoyed, really cemented it for me.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is something I get to do, yeah, not something that I'm forced to do,
yeah,
to have a healthy lifestyle and do those things.
Didn't you do something? Was it knee? There's something I remember a while back, like you, because it was the same time I hurt my shoulder, and you were like slowly.
Yeah, I was playing Capture the Flag at a youth, yeah, retreat.
That's right.
And stepped on some rocks and like really jammed my knee. But yeah, there's been stuff like that through the years, yeah, you know, hurt my shoulder, hurt my knee, sprained my ankle, whatever. I'm getting old, JT.
I know. You're kidding. Oof, he's there. How did it work out, though, then with like newborns and the kids, like, hey Mel, I'll still get up early for, you know, diaper change, like,
yeah. So the best thing we ever did with our third kid was we went to kind of like a shift mentality. Mm-hmm. So we were big on schedules early on. Melanie would go to bed after the last feeding at like 7, mm-hmm. and I'd be on the clock from like 7 to, I forget, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, yeah. whatever the middle of the night was. And if, you know, anything happened with the baby, it was mine to deal with. Uh-huh. And then at 2 o'clock, we'd switch places. She'd go sleep on the futon with the monitor. I'd go to bed with the fan on, earplugs, and like we both got like good sleep. Wow. And man, if you got a newborn out there, yeah. like that is how I'd recommend to do it, because you both get some sleep.
Yeah.
And you know, the working out took a break for uh-huh. a couple months. Like you're just busy and
oh yeah.
But that was huge in getting back to like normal life.
Uh-huh.
When those those kids came along.
This darn thing.
The things.
That makes sense though, to where, yeah, at least you're getting some sleep instead of you're both the same place, both getting woke up.
Well, and there's no animosity.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, well, it's your turn, you get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Nope. Like you've got your defined time, and if baby needs something, like you are doing everything in your power. And short of the equipment that I lack to feed the baby, yeah. like I was 100% on board. Like, okay, can't get you back to bed. Gotta call in
the equipment that I
lack. Gotta call in the milk.
Oh man, that was always the plus. We're like, I can't fix this problem. Like,
right.
I'm out. Bedtime.
Yes. But you know, like in that setup, you know, okay, you're not dirty.
Yeah.
I've burped you for a half an hour yep. and can't get you to settle down. Like, okay, I think it's a food thing.
Yeah.
Which is an extra half hour that she's able to sleep and not have to fight the problem.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the child.
The thing. I mean, the kid. Yeah, so before we get into rapid fire stuff, you brought a list. Do you have any deep thoughts on there? Or are you just ready for...
So I would go back to just... in general, raising kids, and like boys get such a bad rap in culture. Uh-huh. Like, oh, it must be crazy, or like, you know, they're so well behaved. Like, I can't believe you keep them in control or whatever. And I think it really comes down to just teaching them the appropriate time for things. And I know that sounds way oversimplified, but it's really they'll raise to whatever bar that you set for them. And we've seen that with our boys. Hey, it's not the right time for this, mm-hmm. or you can't touch this right now because that's not appropriate. And I didn't believe it when our kids were little, but they were, I mean, whatever standard you set for them, they're going to follow, and they're going to follow it. Maybe not as well at home, but when you take them out, like they know yeah. the difference.
Yeah.
And then I think just in general parenting, the thing that sticks out to me is priorities. Like mm-hmm. Andy Stanley said He's got a lot of good stuff, but he said, no for now, not forever. And I just see that ring true in parenting mm-hmm. so much. He, he drills that point, and it's so true. Like you think, oh man, it's 18 years that I've got this kid in my house. Like, I can't put stuff on hold for that long.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at your kid who you held in your arms yesterday and he turns 12 and goes off to middle school and you go, we're 2/3 done with him.
Yeah.
You know, like our time of influence on him is 2/3 over.
Yeah.
And that might be a little dramatic, but it just like, it didn't take that long.
No.
So to put off the, you know, pushing for a big, promotion or, the super important job or doing all those things that, you know, quote unquote, I want to do, those things can wait a lot of times. Like if they're not a super burning desire for you, you can wait to be the dad that you need to be to those mm-hmm. guys. So mm-hmm. that's been kind of a guiding light for us. It's not about chasing that next big thing. It's not about having the flashy experience or doing everything under the sun that you want to do. Because those moments are so precious and you can't get them back. So that's been big, as we kind of figure out what we do, what we say yes to, what we don't, because, you know, that time is way quicker than what I ever realized it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like those two things, because the one there you said, like, again, it's your intentionality to where this is our focus, this is what we're doing, but also just an encouragement to, like, dads and parents, like, you don't need all this flashy stuff and these trips and all this, like, sure, you can do them, they're fun, but of like, okay, there's a time for wrestling, easy, cheap, free, is one of the most special times, because we're with dad, we're, you know, like, that's a really cool idea. But then also, like you're saying, with, yeah, kids get a bad rap, or boys get this, or girls act this way, or, oh, they're two, wait till they're three. Oh, wait till they're four. Like, and then you catch yourself, like, getting to it, and then you get through, and you're like, I mean, yeah, it was bad, but it was just a normal kid, and it was really more how I perceived it, to where, yeah, and then it's like, well, teenager, wait till the teenagers, because they do this. And, like, I remember John Acuff talks about that, to where he's like, it's only bad because everybody keeps acting like it is. Right. Why don't we say this is a great time? And he's like, it, like you said, he sets the bar to where he wants. Says, this is what we did. And he said, I love the kids as teenagers. And so that's a really good reminder to where, yeah, just because somebody else had a bad thing, or society says, oh, it's bad at this time, like, it doesn't have to be true for you.
Yeah. And I think, you know, with every stage of kid, you're going to find what you look for. If you think it's horrible, if you think it's a drag, if you think they're the worst ever, you're going to find all those moments and reasons to think that.
Yeah.
And they're there. Okay. But if you think it's awesome, and, like, you can't wait to see the world through a four-year-old's eyes for just that little bit more that you have with them, it's amazing. Yeah. You know, like, I watched my seven-year-old for the last 2 weeks build a leprechaun trap on our living room floor. And, man, this kid is set up for a leprechaun to walk through the house. And, like, I just don't know if I'm ever going to see that again. Uh-huh. You know, he's going to be eight next year. Does he know Santa Claus is real or not? Earmuffs, kids.
Yeah.
You know, is he believing in leprechauns, you know, next year? Like, this could be the last time we see the living room transformed.
Yeah.
You know, into a trap for some unsuspecting Irish man. So, yeah, it's just you find what you look for in parenting. Mm-hmm. You know, is it filled with awesomeness or is it filled with dread?
Yeah.
You get to pick.
Well, I just remember even from, you know, first to second to third kid, to where, like, yep, they're crying. It's what a baby does. Okay, you're hungry, you know, like, just the mind shift of, like, it's a 3 month old. It's what it does. You know, it's what they do.
It's what the kids do.
Sorry, child of mine. But if just, yeah, that mind shift. But even, like you said, to where, okay, let's think the you know, a four-year-old, like the thing I've done of going, okay, my kid's freaking out. Why don't you act like a they're four. That's how a four-year-old responds. So then let's connect. You know, obviously, I'm not letting my kids run around and go crazy, but you get it through their eyes of going, oh, yeah, they have no idea how to work on emotions or do whatever. Like, why did you just hit your sister in the face? Well, because she took this. Well, that's really immature. Well, they're seven. They don't know how to handle it. Like, and then you look at yourself like, didn't you just yell at somebody because they didn't? You're like, come on.
Absolutely.
Just full circle. But, yeah, that's a good word of just seeing it through them and, yeah, taking the time, because I was staring at Isaiah was doing something. I was just like, that's so cool. You know, of just the imaginations and the joy of just, you can spend hours with Legos where I can sit and you're like, I'm done. This was 5 minutes and I'm bored. So,
yeah, like we're full throw into sports, you know, and like a lot of times, like every night of the week has something going on, right? Well, every once in a while we'd have a moment where the older two are at practice and I'd have like an hour to just hang out with Tom, our youngest. Tom, what do you want to do? And I'm hoping he says wrestle or, you know, play a game or whatever. And he's like, Dad, can we draw? And I'm not an arts guy. Yep. Like I don't have talent in that way. It's not not a passion. And so we'll sit and take turns drawing on a piece of paper. And it's some of the best time we've spent this winter. It's just taking that hour and, what do you want to draw? I want to draw an ocean scene. I don't know what I can draw in an ocean scene, but we're going to give it a shot.
W's.
And it's not about what you're doing. It's about doing it together.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, let's do it. Let's do these rapid fire questions. Number one, favorite TV or movie dad?
I couldn't get a better answer than Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yes.
You know, the I just love it.
More horsepower.
But then more I thought about it, the Chevy Chase from the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, like, I want to be that dad. Yeah. Like, I want to try that hard for my family.
Yeah. Nice. Those are good. a hobby you enjoy.
You know, it started small. You know, I had a couple friends introduce me to just hiking, you mm-hmm. know, just state. We have a cool state park here 20 minutes away. And, you know, it's an easy way to get the boys outside, get them muddy. But I've really turned out to love it. Even the last couple of years, I've been blessed enough to go like backcountry camping and hiking. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm hooked. Like the further out of cell phone service you are, the better I like it. So can't wait to do more of that. And now that the boys have gotten old enough, I took like a rite of passage trip with Carson last year. And mm-hmm. it was really cool to be able to, you know, plan for that. And you can't just jump into that willy-nilly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's something I've really enjoyed in the last few years.
Yeah, that's – yeah, I like the spot here, but that's cool. Because where you guys went in Wisconsin, right?
It was Isle Royale National Park in Michigan.
Okay. Yeah. North, whatever.
Yeah, way up north.
They're all the same up there.
But man, if you can go, because it is so isolated, beautiful, and just untouched, but like still accessible. You uh-huh. know, you don't have to navigate yourself and, yeah. you know, all
canoe
that stuff.
Canoe to here to plane to...
Right.
Llama, I don't know.
Llama.
Okay, fill in the blank. A dad is...
I said a dad is a work in progress. Ooh. I think the thing that I wish I would have heard growing up was I'm wrong. And I Ooh. Could fight with my mom, and I love you, Mom. I could fight with my mom to the bitter end, and she could be wrong as the sky is blue. Mm-hmm. And I have not heard her say that. And I think that is probably the biggest lesson that I've learned is sometimes I am the dad, but I am also wrong. And I'm trying to figure out life and grow and learn just like my boys are. And sometimes I mess it up. So, yeah, a dad is a work in progress.
That's good. I like that. What's the best piece of dad advice you have received?
So I'd love to have something super deep here. I'd love to have something that, you know, biblical or like yeah. a verse or something. But the one that really sticks with me is don't worry that children don't listen to you. Worry that they are always watching you. The idea that your talk talks, but your walk talks a lot more than your talk talks, if that comes through on the mic. But, you know, the way you respond to stuff is so much more important than what you're telling your kids to do. Mm-hmm. If I'm telling my kid to get self-control, if I'm telling my kid, you know, we shouldn't react like that, but mm-hmm. then he does something and I react like the Hulk. Mm-hmm. I can't expect much better from him. Like, yeah I would love for him to be better yeah. than I am one day, but who's he learning from? Mm-hmm. And if I'm not doing what I tell him to do, that's not a very effective training method. So yeah, there's not been many things more convicting than, you know, they're always watching you. Mm-hmm. For the example that you give them.
Yeah, that's humbling. And the best part of eating crow, they're going, oh, Dad just did that. So
that's why I have ice cream after they go to bed. Dad, where did all that go? I don't know, son. It's all gone.
The freezer, it's broke and it all melted.
Ask your mother.
What brings you pride as a dad?
I think, you know, similar to talking about the love languages and seeing something so like that's such a gift from your, you know, in your kids, like seeing those virtues in your kids that you wish you had yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I was just given the coach's assessment of a kid on my son's team. I'm like, well, nobody passes him the ball because he's not very good. And my son stops. He goes, Dad, that's not very nice of you to say. And I'm like, you know, you're not wrong. And I think so many times, like, they just have these God-given uh-huh. gifts, uh-huh. You know, like the words of affirmation or yeah. that pure heart, that innocence, that you're like, I wish I had that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, seeing those things that come naturally to them that you wish you had, mm-hmm. just fills you up with a lot of wonder and awe in how they were created.
Yeah. Or just that innocence that isn't tainted.
Yeah.
It's just...
yeah, it's that beautiful honesty, like wrapped up in a little kid's perspective. But and we've seen it, you know, the gentle heart that our oldest has, you know, the spirit of fun that our youngest has, like all those things that I'm like, man, I wish I was as cool of a kid as my kids.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I get that. Okay, so last one is, what story do you want your kids to share with their kids about you?
Yeah, this one's tough. I didn't have a lot of good thoughts. You know, I want my boys to, without question, know that I love Jesus, and he's the number one thing. I want them to know that their mom is the first person that I'm going to love, regardless of what they want or need. And I think that's healthy, you know, because that's going to teach them how to be a husband one day.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's easy to confuse. But also just that I love being their dad. You know, it's not easy. It's a lot of work sometimes. There's a lot of stuff you got to put off to be a dad. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. And, you know, if they could think some sort of thing like that when they get older and talk about me when I'm older and grayer. That's
I don't know if that's possible, but that's older, maybe.
That's a win for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what it. Yeah.
I think that's good. And I don't think, at least when I think of that question, where it's not some deep thing, it is that simple of just like, yeah, just the day to day stuff. Dad was like, we knew he loved God and he took care of mom. Like, man, if you have that,
well, yeah,
good.
And like, you know, silly things, like we're talking through a book on sex with my oldest. He's 12 and like, hey, this is time to hear this. And I think it's a little early for him, but I'd rather have it be a little early than too late. But I want him to be able to tell his kids, yeah, grandpa sat down and painstakingly went through this book chapter after chapter after chapter. And it was super awkward.
Yeah.
But I never had a talk like that with my dad.
Yeah.
And I want him to know that I care enough to be uncomfortable and awkward talking about this stuff.
Well, that's what a buddy of mine who I think it was Brenton was on here was talking about, that to where you want to be early and do it because then that makes you the expert. And you don't want your kids hearing it from someone at school because they're the expert, or, you know, TV or whatever, to where I was like, that's a really good piece of advice of like, hey, I heard it first from dad or mom, so I'm going to trust them and go that route. So,
well, and the only way it's not, let's start over. The only way it's going to be less awkward is by getting some practice.
Yeah.
So
Tom, it'll be piece of cake.
I don't know. we haven't got there yet, but like we've certainly tried to put in the time to have those contacts.
Yeah. Oh, I am not ready for those. We've talked about some of them, but. Yeah, I'm not ready for those talks, especially with my girls. So that's what, like, Erica's down here, Johan's, you know, wife, like, hey, you know, maybe if you're around, or, you know, call aunt or whatever, like,
ooh. Well, it's tough because, you know, not having mom and dad on the same page all the time, I can see how that would be really, really tough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of simplified for us because it's all boys, so it's squarely falls into my job to have the majority of those.
And you grew up with that, so you know how it all works.
Right. Right. Like, well, let me tell you about this.
What is happening to your body? I don't know.
Oh. Dad, can we not talk about this anymore?
No, son. We're going to go through this whole chapter. Oh, that's awesome, though. Be encouraged that you're doing that and taking care of your kids. So, yeah, man, that was... I mean, I just want to talk to you and hear stuff, and like say on Dad Talks, just something you say maybe encourage and inspire some dad to be better, and that's it. And so I think there's a lot of good stuff that you had, and like I said, I think the key from yours is intentional.
Yeah, and like, for the record, that did not come from me myself. That was, you know, 95% my wife setting me up to succeed. So.
Which then it then speaks to that of you're intentional of your spouse, and you got a good one, and look at that. You're rolling.
Yeah.
Mr. Martin. So, yeah, thanks, Nick. Thanks for doing this with me. And
great to come to the studio, JT.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.